In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Welcome to EMS Office Hours. I am Jim Hoffman.
And I'm Josh Knapp.
And we are here again, guys. As always, I encourage you to head over to iTunes after the show. There's a button or a link here right on this page. You can just go straight there, take 2 minutes, leave us a quick, delicious 5-star rating, and write a quick review of this episode or maybe even a previous episode that you've listened to. It really does help the show out and pushes up in the rankings at iTunes. It keeps us alive there instead of sending us to podcast, misery if we don't get.
And if you get up to 1,000 stars, we will actually send you credit to use on Apple iStore.
No, we're not doing that.
Oh, we're not?
No.
We didn't get a budget for that.
What kind of fucking money do you think I have?
Well, I was thinking, I didn't specify the exact credit, you know?
So,
good for you. Good at you. That's credit. You get credit for that.
So, Josh, I figured we'd make a quick episode today. And wanted to...
Not a painfully long...
No, maybe 15 minutes if that. Although this could be a passionate discussion, we'll have to kind of probably cut it off. But everyone's favorite topic is going to nursing homes.
Oh yes, please, but much more of that.
This is kind of
smell that you get when you walk in the door.
Yeah, it's kind of twofold. I'll tell you a story. Because one part of it is the story, and one part of it is just the reality of the job, right?
Is this a debriefing, Jim? Are you stressed?
No, it's not about me. I had a call at a nursing home, get a room number for, a fall. And we get there, go to the room number they said it was going to be. The entire time we're in the facility going to the room, we're greeted by nobody. We're not given any report as far as what's going on with the patient, not given any paperwork, nothing. Mm-hmm. No staff members to be found. So we amble over to the room where the patient's supposed to be, thinking maybe the staff is by the patient, and there's nobody there. No patient, nobody in the room. So, of course, I'm like, yay, canceled. But that's not the reality because there's going to be a patient there. So now, I'm looking for staff in and around the room where this call is supposed to be. There's no one to be found. There's no staff member anywhere. There's patients in the rooms, but there's no staff anywhere. So my partner goes looking for staff member somewhere with one of the first responders.
Have you ever been to that situation and, another patient sort of like raises their hand or gets in your face as far as like, they're the one that you've been called for, and they're not.
No, I've had people say, "No, it's not me. Get out of my room." I've had them do that to me before. The last thing I want to do is go to the hospital. These poor people. But anyway, so my partner goes and looks for the staff member to find out what the hell's going on and where the patient is. Finally, finds a staff member on the other side of the building, another wing of the facility, and I'm not sure what happened. I wasn't there. But apparently, the staff member thought my partner had an attitude. You could be nicer to me. You don't have to have an attitude. The patient's in the room. And she probably like, no, actually, the patient wasn't in the room. We're giving this number. There's nobody there. You guys are actually, by protocol, are supposed to meet us, let us know where the patient is, give us paperwork, give us a fucking patient report, and let us know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Normally we go to the facility and here's the paperwork. There they are. There's never a story, never anything. What's going on with the patient? It's always some half-assed, patient report, whatever. So anyway, my partner's like, no, I didn't have an attitude. I'm just telling you what the deal was, and the patient wasn't there. So finally, she's like, oh, the patient's right there. They're in that room. All right. Well, first of all, it's in a locked area of the facility, which is the dementia area of the facility that's locked down. We don't have access to, number one. And number two, the room was totally different. It was different.
Isn't it amazing when you have to explain that? It's like, you know, where you're asking me to go is in the, the psych area, and that's on lockdown. I don't have keys to it. Nobody has keys to it. And that would probably be the same reason they have the funny door handles that you can't really grip.
Well, the funny thing is, she goes, there's the patient right there. She unlocks, puts the code in, unlocks the door. And as we're going through, the fucking aide or the staff member says to my partner, yeah, keep walking. Like, almost like threatening.
Right.
You know? And I'm like, what is going on here? You know? And I'm like, I don't care, even if my partner was, you know, blunt or you know, had an attitude, like, where the fuck is this patient that we're here for the first thing on Sunday morning, you know, you don't threaten somebody, you know, with bodily harm because you don't like the way their attitude is, you know?
Wait. How did you get the... you know, a violence or was,
well, you know, like, you know, when people say to you, like, yeah, I kind of argue with somebody and you're walking away and then
I never argue.
Yeah. You better keep walking or yeah, keep walking.
Right. Right.
Or I'm
no, I don't know what that's like. Nobody ever says that.
You know, keep walking type thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I don't know what that's like, Jim. Nobody ever says that to me. I get along with everybody all the time.
That probably happens to you on a daily basis. But here's the thing, right?
Yeah. Now,
there's a professionalism that's involved with that. You have to remain professional. And, I mean, the way the attitude came off with that was so, I mean, you could feel like the threat in the air. Like even like I stopped and turned around like, what the frig is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you sense the level of unprofessionalism.
Yeah, and
a small level.
And you know what? Beyond that threat and the professionalism, thing like that, the one thing that I took from it, right? And the one thing that I try to get across, and somebody said this to me after the call, and I had said the story to somebody else. They were like, "Well, Jim, you know, you've been doing this forever, you know, it's not going to change. That's not going to change." And I took a step, and it really hit me, man, because I took a step back and I said, you know what? As long as I've been doing this and as many nursing homes that I've been to on calls in New York City, upstate New York, New Jersey, North Carolina, it's true. It's the same thing. It's never changed. Calls at nursing homes have been the same the entire time I've been in this industry. It's always been the what appears to be subpar care, appears to be no reports. The attitude of here's the paperwork, get him out of the, you know, take him away. I don't want to deal with it anymore. Nobody knows what's going on. It's always someone's shift change. It's always a new patient for them. The O2 saturation is always 85%. You know, any number of things.
I was just talking to them 10 minutes
that
ago.
Is a common thread.
I was just talking to them 10 minutes ago.
Right. I was just talking to them there. They were fine 10 minutes
ago.
They were
fine, right.
And beyond the call I just described, right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing that discussion that I had was, and the way they described to me what they do with nursing home calls because of this, is just going, getting the patient, having a smile, and saying, see you later.
Yeah, okay.
Because of the fact, it almost this, it's like this beatdown. It's almost like you're never going to change it. The staff and the way that they, you know, view EMS and the way that they lackadaisy about what they do when it comes to the whether it's a 911 call in nursing facility or interfacility transport, whatever it is, I've done both sides of it, you know, and it's always been the same. It hasn't changed. It's never going to change. You know, we could sit here and talk about every advancement in EMS going on, from ultrasound that they talk about and community paramedicine and STEMIs and sepsis and all this stuff. But the a big root of EMS, a big part of our call volume, is coming from nursing facilities, nursing homes, rehab facilities.
Well, we have an aging population, you know, but Jim.
The thing is, Josh, and the way it just kind of hit me of this, the reality of it just was like, you know, it isn't changing. It's not going to change. It hasn't changed. I've been doing this going almost now, like on 30 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's never changed. When I was an EMT, it was going on. When I was a brand new medic, it was going on. It's been, no matter what state or city or county I've worked in, it's been going on.
And when you hear stories from other EMS,
yes,
the same story.
It's the same shit. I'll hear the same story. I'll go tomorrow to work and I'll talk to somebody and they'll say, oh, we got to call it, you know, that place. And this is what happened. And the nurse said this. And it's like when you argue with them or fight with them, they've got the balls to complain about you, that you were unprofessional, that you had an attitude or whatever. Right.
Right.
And for what? Yeah, the better position to take, and listen, for the most part, I go to a facility, I've got that attitude. This is this. It's not anything else, right? This is this. We're going to do what we have to do. We're going to take the patient, and I'll figure it. I'm confident in my clinical skills and my assessment skills that I'll figure out what's going on with the patient. I don't need some knucklehead trying to tell me, you know, some bullshit story of what happened to the patient before I got there. I'll figure it out, you know, rather than going there with an attitude of they should be, you know, giving us
expectations. Yeah, the expectations of different deliverables at the when you arrive at location.
Right.
And I get that. You know, there is these. There are these protocols in place that say when you're transferring a patient, they go to the three-ring binder that says patient transfer, and right there in the front, and 20-point bullet point are, you know, face sheet, current history, sign out, make sure people are notified, call Dr. X, blah, 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 and they go down the punch list, and they have it. But, you know, and the biggest thing that we can say in EMS is walk a mile in our shoes. But sometimes we have to go and say walk a mile in their shoes. We don't know. You know, one of the things that just came out, and I think it was either AP or Reuters, ran this little tiny blurb article a week or so ago about how the industry, the nursing home industry, is cheating on their staffing reports and not reporting absences or vacations or anything else, and just running staff slow. So right, you know, you think that we're unappreciated, low paid, and mistreated. Nursing homes, my God, the staffs there are ill equipped for the job that they have at hand, and few. You have the training necessary to deal with their caseload.
And, you know, that's a good point, Josh. And I think that's something that we have to remember. And a lot of us forget that. I often forget it because there are times I go into the nursing homes at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning or something.
And doing any sort of human feelings at 3 o'clock in the morning is tough to do.
Yeah. And you know, I'll walk in and maybe I might have an attitude. I might be short, or most of the time my attitude is more of a nonverbal type thing. I just keep my thoughts to myself. I get the patient, and I leave, you know? Right. And there is an element of truth in what you say as far as walking a mile in their shoes, understanding that they are probably easily overworked, you know, overwhelmed by the amount of patients that they have. And then again, you know, even a patient that, let's say, gets injured from a fall or whatever, or maybe has some kind of acute illness that might, you know, that might come up, they've got a set of protocols that they have to follow, and those protocols aren't necessarily, you know, give EMS a thorough report. You know, it's more like, let's just get the hell out of here and make the appropriate notifications and get the paperwork made and make sure there's a copy of the DNR and there's a copy of this and then notify the family and then the doctor and all this good stuff. And we kind of forget that element of it, you know?
Right.
It doesn't excuse my story or what happened with that.
Or the feelings. The feelings are genuine and real, and you're right. A human being. You know, you're going to respond and react to these frustrations and these, and especially, you know, when you're in a situation and you have a person from an outside agency dealing with the same patient in a different role situation, and they don't exhibit any of the understanding or patience that you're trying to give them, that is off the charts annoying. It's like we're both in this together. Let's just work together for the betterment of the patient. And sometimes people are like, well, you're talking to me in a rude way, or I don't like your attitude.
Right.
What attitude? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I have one eye still glued shut from sleep. You know, the coffee that they made was burnt. And there wasn't enough of it. You know, I'm doing the best I can with what I got.
And you know, Josh, you and I talked about this the other day, probably on the phone, and this is before anything I'm talking about went on. It's the mentality almost when it comes to this type of situation, for me anyway, where you feel like you're almost beaten and I'm just going to do the job that has to get done, you know, and not try to change things, you know, right. Because like my friend had said to me, I told him this story and he was like, why argue? Why get upset with the nursing facilities? It's not going to change. He said to me, he goes, Jim, think about it. You've been doing this for a while. What's changed? Anything? And it set me back on my heels a little bit. Like, wait a minute, this guy's right. I've been doing this for so long, and really, all the changes that I've seen happen in EMS, right, over the years, better, you know, positive, negative, whatever. The one thing that's never really changed is this whole nursing home, you know, issue that anyone in EMS will tell you that they experience the same thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And talking about what I said in a podcast, you know, earlier we've done, is if you get someone at EMS that tells you that they have a wonderful relationship and everyone's, they're full of shit. They're blind to the reality of what goes on, you know, unless they're living in some alternate universe that I'm not aware of. But anyone that I've ever talked to, comments that I see on Facebook from paramedics and EMTs nationwide, everybody seems to have the same sort of experiences from it, you know? And that's today and yesterday and years ago.
And to our younger compatriots out there who may be listening to this, trying to pick up some ideas on how to make it a better, you know, a better world. I got news for you. This whole nursing home thing is just going to get worse.
Yeah, it's not going to be better. And like you said,
we have an exploding aging population. Yes. And there are guys like you and me who are looking at retirement.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's, you know, it's, and like I said, man, it's not changing. It doesn't pay for us as providers to get our blood pressure up, to get ourselves written up even, you know, or to fight with other healthcare professionals by getting an attitude and expecting anything more than what we've been getting for the past at least 30 years that I've been doing it, right? So that's not going to change, you know? What can change, of course, is you as an individual being more professional, being more clinically aware of what might be going on with the patient, you know, that recognizing that that fall might not just be a fall, could be something else.
So why does it have to fall on me to be more professional?
Well, it doesn't have, it doesn't, I don't think it, to say it falls on us to be more professional, but I think that we have to kind of own it, because the ones that should be, it should be falling on the nursing staff to be more professional as well. It's not going to fall on them, because we go back to what you said earlier, Josh, right? The people in nursing facilities are probably even more overworked and overwhelmed and underpaid than EMS people are, you know? And we have to kind of keep that in mind. So we have to go into it, I think, with this mentality of, okay, this shit's not changing. That doesn't mean I have to let it beat me down. I can still be the professional. I can still do my assessments. I can still whatever. And take the that part of the equation of that facility and the staff member that's not doing their job to my expectations and what I should be expecting them to do and what anyone else might be expecting them to do, and taking that out of the equation is, okay, I don't necessarily need that piece to figure shit out. I can do it on my own because I'm educated, because I keep increasing my knowledge base. I don't blow things off as nonsense. You know, I take that 360 view of everything before I make a decision on stuff, and take care of the patient at hand. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And not let the situation of nursing home, you know, hearing that nursing home name that you know you go to, like, oh my God, this place again is calling me for this nonsense. You know what I mean?
You know,
as, all right, I'm going there for this. It's probably going to be nonsense. But as a professional and as a clinician, when you get there, saying, okay, before I blow it off as total bullshit, let me make sure that, you know, the patient fell, it total nonsense. But before I rip them off the floor, put them in a stretcher, let me make sure they don't have any neck pain. They don't have a hip issue. They don't have a back issue. There's no bleeding going on. You do your assessment, and you do what you're supposed to do for your job, and let the other people, you know, yeah, it's their job to do what they're supposed to do, but you're not at that position, I think, that you're going to change them. You know what I mean?
No.
It's not going to happen.
You know, your professionalism is something that should be always the first tool in your toolbox. You know, the first thing that you grab is that, and that's the foundation of everything that you've learned, your experiences, your education, and, you know, your patience. And you bring that to bear, you do your job, and you don't always personalize it. I mean, one of the biggest troubles in any of these interactions, especially negative interactions, is, you know, we have a big thing of taking it personally.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's you know, in the same way that if you had an AMS patient, let's say, and clear diabetic history, and you got a finger stick at 33, you know, if they're telling you and cursing you out and threatening you and everything else, you're not going to take it personally. You're not going to say they tried to assault me. You're not going to say anything, right? Because they're AMS. You're understanding what the environment is giving at that moment in time. And
right,
you're using your professionalism to look past the immediate, not personalize it, and exercise clinical judgment.
Right.
So why should that go away when you walk into a nursing home where you're probably been maybe even say mistreated by overworked staff, and I throw in the description just to keep us grounded. that we don't know what that person's problem is. It's just like, you know, you get on the bus with somebody and, you know, they're like we were talking before. You've heard stuff about them. Maybe you haven't heard anything about them, but they come on with a type of attitude. You don't know what's going on that day.
Right.
You don't, and, you know, this is these people interactions that we have and that we have to get through our day in that we're immersed in. And right. to sit there and to let ourselves just react to it and personalize it, and we bring it inside of us, and then act less than professional because of it, I almost want to say shame on us. You know, and I know it's sort of unfair that it seems like the weight of the world is sometimes placed on our shoulders. Oh, you're supposed to walk in when, you know, everybody's losing their mind and a family loved one is sick and not being treated well, and you're supposed to rectify everything and fix everything to the best of your ability. Yeah, that's sort of the job.
Right.
And people may disagree with that, but, you know, what are we there for?
Yeah. Yep. Well, Josh, listen, let's wrap that up. I don't want to keep going on and on with this because, you know, I think everyone can pretty much be in agreement with what we're talking about.
And if you're not, let us know.
Yeah. I do think it goes back to keeping in mind, this is something, let me just close with this, I guess. You know, as I've gotten older in my life and I've become kinder and gentler, the one thing I always try to remind myself of when I start losing my mind over something, right,
mm-hmm.
is that, and this kind of goes back to what you said, is that, you know, everybody else that I come in contact with, whether it's a nurse at the hospital or a doctor or a patient or family member or nursing home staff or whatever, or even another EMS, you know, provider, is that everybody they're people too, right? They're going through shit. They have stuff going on in their lives. They have they have struggles that I have no idea about. And whether that struggle is something personal that's bleeding into their professional life because maybe it's a divorce or a sick kid or a sick parent or financial problems or whatever the case may be, right?
Mm-hmm.
I forget that I had those problems too, and that other people, again, they're people and they have the same type of problems. So I have to I've been trying to actively remind myself that when, you know, that before I start losing my mind on somebody that might not necessarily be the way I want them to be or act the way that I expect them to act or do what I expect them to do, that they're people too. You know, they're not perfect. You know,
right.
people aren't perfect. And you talk about nursing home staff, so we'll talk about in particular in this episode, these are people that are not perfect. That perhaps they are overworked and underpaid and overwhelmed, and they're doing their best when they have a staff of maybe four trying to deal with, you know, 200, you know, residents in a nursing facility that are all trying to get out of the goddamn bed at the same time and walk the halls like zombies. You know what I mean? And they're trying to keep them in the bed so they don't fall and hurt themselves. And they're trying to give them their medications. And they're trying to, you know, monitor ones that might be sicker than others. And now we come in with an attitude because we got called there at 3 a.m. because one of them fell out of the bed. And I think we have to, again, take that mentality of their people too. They're dealing with their own struggles just as much as we are, you know.
100%.
And that goes to, you know, being that professional. And, yeah, it hasn't changed in 30 years. It probably won't change. You know, this, like you said, it's just going to be getting worse, you know. And I think we have to kind of own it as EMS professionals and own the fact that, you know what, we're not going to get the best report from these people. We're not going to get the best direction. and we have to own it and be the professional and say, okay, we're going to assess the patient. We're going to do our job, regardless if somebody else is not meeting our expectation of what their job should be. You know what I mean?
You know, the one person in this whole scenario who doesn't have any responsibility for anything that's going on in terms of those exterior stimuli, the bad partner, the bad job, the late job, the mandation, the underpaid or understaffed staff where you're going, the patient. The patient has no responsibility to anybody, and they're the ones in need. So, you know, in the end, you sort of got to clear your visor, take a look at what the goal is, and again, first tool in that toolbox is professionalism.
Yeah. All right, Josh, let's end it there. Anyone, again, comments, concerns, send them over to us. The email is contact@emsofficehours.com. You can also leave a message on the blog. You can send me a message on Instagram or Snapchat. I'm EMS Safe with those channels, or, of course, on Facebook. It's facebook.com/theEMSProfessional. Please leave us a review. Like I mentioned earlier, go to iTunes. There's a link on this page to do that. Leave us a quick review or rating. It really helps us out and helps spread the word about the show as well. All right, Josh. As always, guys, I'm Jim Hoffman.
Josh Knapp.
EMS Office Hours. Stay safe.